A very good morning to one and all as we continue our study in this letter to Paul, a letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And before we begin, how about we one more time look to the Lord in prayer? Because we're going to be talking about prayer. So Father, I want to pray, and Lord, you've been showing us in this book of Ephesians how much we've been blessed. And those of us whose faith is resting in the finished work of Christ on the cross. You have told us that every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus are ours. So Father, would you help us to claim everything that you have blessed us with? And all of it, not for our benefit, all of it for the honor and glory of you, your name, sake of your church, the church that's gathered right here and everywhere around the whole world today. All for your plans and purposes for us. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Be with us now as we open your word today. Amen. Well, we're going to get into finishing off where we left our study last Sunday. And if you brought a Bible, please feel free to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll have it up on the screen there as well. But as I was putting all this together this week, I realized I wanted to share something first before we start our reading. If you remember the last time we talked about this, we found out that Ephesians 3 is a chapter that really has to be read in two parts. Verse 1 actually goes together with verse 14. And those 12 verses in the middle, they're like that big parenthesis, that bracket that we looked at last Sunday, that Paul outlines for us in there in some detail, something he calls the mystery of Christ. And we said a mystery, in the Bible sense, is something that is no longer unknown. Now, it was something that wasn't revealed in the past, in the Old Testament, but is now disclosed, now revealed in the New. Now, it's not that you won't find evidences of the church or God's plan to include the Gentiles in the whole thing in those Old Testament books. Remember Jesus, he started right back at the very beginning, back in Genesis. He was able to show those disciples walking along the road to Emmaus all the scriptures that spoke about him. And now, those of us who are on this side of the cross, and that's important to remember, we're on this side of the cross, we're looking back. On this side of the cross, we can see all kinds of evidences, can't we? Maybe the earliest reference goes back to Genesis 3 and verse 15. God said to that serpent, he said to Satan, he was referring to Eve, he said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. Well, we know with certainty that that's referring to Jesus, right? I mean, before you even get four pages into your Bible. But Eve didn't know that. That's why she was so excited when Cain was born. Right? Here he is. Here's the one that's going to crush the serpents. Oh, hold on. He murdered his brother. Think of the reformer, Martin Luther. Now, 500 some odd years ago, he startled the religious world when he said that a person made right with God by faith alone, apart from the works of the law. Not that it wasn't in there, in this case, the New Testament book of Romans. But in his study, and certainly in reliance on the Holy Spirit, Luther was able to rediscover something that had been hidden for 1,500 years under church tradition. Now, in this case, it wasn't God who was doing any hiding at all, right? People were. But it does make me wonder sometimes, what have we allowed our traditions to hide? What have we determined that God cannot do because, well, it doesn't fit our statement of faith? If you want God to do that, well, you'll have to go to that church. We don't believe that here. Are there truths that we need to rediscover here in our day? Something for this generation that God has chosen to have us be alive in this generation, 2021. I know so many people so nostalgic for the 1800s. Well, guess what? We're not there anymore, and we're not going back. We're moving forward. Now, by the way, rediscovering new truths in the Bible, it's also a wonderful way to start your own cult. So we need to be careful, right? You test the spirits, all that kind of a thing. But this is actually a living word. You know, these scriptures, they do come to life through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and when we search them in a community of people who are seeking the Lord in a vital and living way. So you keep doing that. Now, if you find something new, well, make sure you run it by the group, you know, before you start your own church. All right, thinking back to Ephesians 3. I don't want to make you late for lunch here. As we learned last week, the mystery Paul refers to here. Now again, it's not mysterious, right, in the sense of a good mystery story, a whodunit, but it's something God reveals, a case that is solved. And Paul wrote about this mystery, now revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets, that through the gospel, Gentiles, that's you and me pretty much, we're now heirs together with Israel, God's chosen people. We're members together of one body and sharers together in the promises of Jesus Christ. And for this reason, said Paul, and he's been talking about it, you and I are no longer foreigners and aliens, but we're fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household in Christ. And remember, all through Ephesians now, we've been talking about that's how you know if you're a Christian. Are you in Christ, or is Christ in you? Because in him, we're being built together. We're rising to become a holy temple in the Lord, a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And of course, it's not confined to these hundred and some odd year old bricks and mortar. And for this reason, and Paul tells us right off the bat in verse 1 of chapter 3 that he is a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, in the book of Acts, chapter 22, we read there about one of the occasions that Paul gave his testimony. And now Kevin was mentioning the Bible study coming up this Wednesday, and in the studies that Kevin's been leading us in, by the way, thank you for doing that. Now, I know last Wednesday he said that, you know, since he has a day job, you may be taking some time off with all the preparation, although you are on for this Wednesday, right? Good? Okay, 7:30 on Zoom. So then it might be me, unless Kevin changes his mind, we'll see. But it might be me, and I'll be doing mine from a book, because that's a lot of prep time. So again, thank you, Kevin, for doing that, for being so willing to start that off for us, and I'll do my best starting in November. In our sessions on the life of the Apostle Paul that Kevin's been leading us in, we found out that Paul never grew tired of telling people how he came to know personally and become a follower of Jesus Christ. Our first meeting with Jesus, it's something we never get over, is it? I hope not, anyway. I hope we're able to say that same thing. We first encounter the story of what happened on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, and then Dr. Luke, writing in that book, records Paul retelling that story two more times in those chapters all about the early church. You know, that blinding light that he saw, that voice from heaven that he heard. Now, in Acts 22, he speaks to the crowd. Later in Acts 26, he'll speak to King Agrippa. But when he speaks to the crowd in Acts 22, he tells them about his meeting with the risen Lord Jesus. And the people are listening. Until he gets to this. And it's Acts 22 and verse 21, he says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles.'" Hold on just a minute. Those very religious Jewish listeners, they were not ready to hear that. They raised their voices and they shouted, "Rid the earth of him. He's not fit to live." And this past Wednesday, Kevin showed us, you know, how Stephen ended up being martyred for his faith. Now, in Paul's case, they locked him up. but only physically. And you know, here we are in 2021, all these years later, we can be very grateful to Paul for being faithful in proclaiming the message that God gave him regarding our place as Gentiles in the Lord's purpose and plan for the ages. Now, God has not abandoned the people of Israel. Kevin mentioned that in Romans 11. But we're now included too. We're not left without hope. Paul was faithful to his calling, even though it meant imprisonment. And we can know from tradition that it also meant his eventual martyrdom for speaking the message of Christ. You know, you shouldn't always believe that when things are going smoothly in your life, that that's the ultimate test that we know we're in the will of God, right? Oh, I had so much peace about it. I prayed. I have peace. Everything fell into place so smoothly. Now, sometimes that's true, and praise God. Praise God when things are going well. But other times, and I mean, things certainly didn't go smoothly for Paul, hardly ever. But through it all, he was very much in the will of God. Exactly where God wanted him to be, even if it meant suffering for the sake of Christ. You know, God allows for suffering. Sometimes he even plans it. That's not popular these days. So may we be faithful to our calling as well. Whatever it might be, whatever's going on around us, wherever God has planted you, whatever difficulty in your life that he's going to trust you with, may you grow and flourish for his glory. Don't give up. There's a reward waiting for you someday, and it's got your name on it. That's the God we serve. Now, Paul is going to pray for these believers. And when you're in prison, that's pretty much the only thing you can do for those on the outside. But he's also writing letters, too. In fact, most of his letters, it's amazing. Some of his most hopeful words to us in the Bible actually came from a prison cell. Now, if he were writing to us, maybe this is what Paul would be praying for you and me as well. So, I am finally getting, did you find Ephesians 3, by the way? I am finally getting to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, first, before we get to what's up on the screen, although you can put it up there if it's available, but I want to read once again just how verse 1 fits together all the way with verse 14. So, actually, if you want to start, oh, there it is right there. Look at that. You're amazing. All right. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And then you go down to verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That's a pretty amazing statement right there, isn't it? I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You ever heard somebody say you got to ask Jesus into your heart? Here's where it comes from. That he would dwell in your heart, the very depth of you, by faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then, like a good prayer, he concludes with a doxology. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Do you know how many times that word generations keeps jumping out at me now whenever I read the Bible? Well, I've been here since June. So anyway, now that I'm here at Generations Community, I don't know why I told you that. I just thought I would mention that. There you go. Anyway, he wants this generation to have power, but not for spectacular, showy reasons. He said this is power to grasp, to begin to understand how wide and long and high and deep is this love of Christ? Deep and wide, right? To know it, to be, yeah, exactly. To be deep and wide. No, oh, that's deep and that's wide. Right, right, yes. To be, you're going to come back again next Sunday, right? Because this is, oh, good, okay, good. Right on, you bet. To be filled with all the measure of the fullness of God. Ah, let's keep seeking that together, right? Let's keep seeking that. You know how different the world around us would be if more men and women were to actually encounter. I mean, if more just regular, everyday Canadians, as different as we all are, if they could just run into people who truly had Christ living in their hearts through faith. Right? Maybe meeting you in the neighborhood, in the grocery store. How different your workplace could be when you realize and allow Christ to live his resurrection life in you. Remember last summer we talked about those rivers of living water that would just flow out of people when they received his Spirit? Now God takes care of where the river goes. Our job is to make sure that we stay, keep ourselves at the source of the living water. Right? Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water that I give them will never thirst, but a well of water will spring up inside of them. And you know when we do that, people will actually see him. We think people see him when we, you know, go on Facebook and slam the government or something, right? There, they'll know we're Christians because we're mad. You think that's really going to let anybody know you're a Christian? No, they'll know it by what they see in you, even when you're at your worst. Because we don't want to be phony either, do we? How different our homes would be, how different this church will be. When Christ can dwell, make his home, when he can feel at home, in our hearts through faith. Now, does he feel at home in your heart? Are there rooms in this temple of yours that, well, we don't let Jesus into that one. He wouldn't like what's going on in there. I'm reading one of Jim Cimbala's books right now. Now, some of you know his name. He's the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City. And I got a book at the thrift store. $2.50, hardcover. Oh. It's called Breakthrough Prayer. And he shares something really neat, and I just read it the other night, and I thought, well, I got to come up with something for the sermon. So since we're thinking about prayer, this prayer of Paul's for the church and now for us, I thought maybe I better quote this for you, okay? It's from Jim Cimbala. He says, did you know that in addition to describing God as creator, comforter, and king, the Bible also calls him the hearer of prayer? It's one of the sweetest yet least known descriptions of the Lord in Scripture. Now, if you want to jot this down or look it up, it's Psalm 65 and verse 2. Psalm 65 and verse 2. O you who hear prayer, to you all people will come. And Pastor Jim says it's more literally to say, hearer of prayer, to you all people will come. Now, in fact, not only does he hear, but I looked it up in the updated NIV version that I use. So I discovered that the NIV now translates Psalm 65 and verse 2 a little bit differently. It even goes so far as to calling God, you who answer prayer. We don't want to just waste our time, you know, taking up space here as we chat and talk to the air. We want to know there's somebody there. In fact, Pastor Jim says if God didn't hear, if he did not hear our cries and our prayers, wouldn't our world be incredibly lonely and depressing? Fortunately, the Lord is not some distant creator who set the world in motion and then proceeded to ignore it. He is the hearer of prayer, who made costly provision so that his people might approach the throne of grace with confidence. And then he quoted Hebrews 4 and verse 16. How lonely, Actually, you know what? How lonely and depressing is our world, especially over the last year and a half or so. Most of us need to hear this. Most don't follow this, of course. I mean, there's no question. Many people would believe that you and I here on this Sunday morning, they would say, you people have absolutely lost your mind. Oh, you poor, misguided people. Here you are, grown adults. You really believe that some God is actually out there hearing what you say? In this whole humongous universe, on a little blue planet, barely even a speck in the vast darkness? Oh no. Listen up. Nobody cares for us. There's nobody coming for us. You live, you die. You're no different from any other animal. By the way, you keep telling people that, they start to live that way, don't they? And aren't they? We see it all around us. And isn't it ironic that somehow in all this vast universe, believing that there is no creator of it all, somehow the majority of people still find a way to believe, though, that the earth is all revolving around them. They are the center of the universe. There's no God except me. We're focused on our own needs, our own wants. We stop caring about anybody else. Hey, William Shatner. Man, what was it? Just 10 minutes maybe he spent up in space the other week? He said, I never want to get over this. Oh, I'm sure there are all kinds of different things rolling around in his 90-year-old mind. But God has placed eternity in people's hearts. And in those brief moments, didn't that old guy say some profound stuff? Some of you remember when the first time he ever said, space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. To boldly go, I mean. But even those of us who are left here on the ground, when we stop thinking and looking only at ourselves, we get overwhelmed with it, don't we? We begin to sense that there's more, much more. And as people who have encountered that much more, you and I, well, we wish that very same assurance and comfort for every single human being we rub shoulders with. Well, that we socially distance and mask up within 2 meters of, right? We want them to know this God too. If you have any Christians in your life that are bugging you to come to Christ, it's because they care. It really is. They may not go about it the best way all the time, but you and I genuinely care for people who still have yet to believe. Now, I think I'm a fairly sensible person in my right mind. Okay, wait a minute. Don't use me as the best example. You people watching on Zoom, yes, you are fairly sensible. You're in your right minds. You look like it anyway. Yeah. You're here today. You're maybe watching or listening today. Perhaps you're just listening to this somewhere online 100 years from now. I don't know. But you know it, don't you? Deep down in your heart. Every single word, every honest cry, everything you say that you make in a prayer, even if it's just a help, Lord. That's one of my most popular prayers, by the way. Lord, help me. Help me. Whatever ranting you might do, whatever wrestling you do when you're all alone and nobody's around, every longing, every word of genuine prayer is being listened to. Isn't that amazing? All of it is heard. Heard by somebody who knows me, somebody who even understands me. Someone who knows my every desire, both good and bad. One who has completely forgiven me. He's made me even holy. Well, that means set apart for his purposes. Follow me around long enough and you'll know. And not only that, this someone loves me. There's a British author, his name is Adrian Plass, incredibly funny man. He one time said something, he just said, God even likes me. God likes you. I can feel that, even in my loneliest of times. That's Paul's prayer for us, that we would know, not just read about it, but we would actually know, that we would grasp, that we would cling on to it. Klingons, okay, I was talking about William Shatner, wasn't I? Cling on to it. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Anybody feel like shouting this morning? May he fill us with that. Every last one of us. May these words from Paul become your prayer. And maybe, you know, and I was thinking, let's see, well, I've got to let you out of here eventually, so maybe I won't do this morning, but, and maybe especially when we don't have to have our masks on. But, you know, why not take these words from Ephesians 3, verses 14 and 20, and maybe use them as a bit of a template, a bit of a model for your own prayer, you know, for all the people you care about in this life that he's gifted you with, praying out of his glorious riches. And then put somebody's name in there. Bill, Betty, I'm praying that out of his glorious riches he'll strengthen you. And to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Father, I want to just pray for everybody here, Lord, that out of your glorious riches, you would strengthen these folks, strengthen me with power. It's all through your Spirit. And when we've invited you, it's in us. It's in our inner being. So strengthen us so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Maybe we were kids when we said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Father, maybe it's time again for us to remind ourselves, oh yeah, he's here. He wants to be here. I've kept him out of my life too much. And Lord, I ask that all these folks here and also listening on Zoom, that they would be rooted and established in love. And may they have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, all over the world, in fact, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Father, I pray that every single person in this room today knows that they are loved by the one who knows them even better than they know themselves. Glorify your name among us here at Generations Community Church, and I ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.